Information and entertainment from Indonesia, only on Indonesia Today.
Voice of Indonesia with the news. Indonesia's Minister of Culture Fadli Zon has met with French Minister of Culture Rachida Dati in Cannes, France, to discuss efforts to strengthen cultural cooperation between the two countries that have existed since 1969. According to him, both countries have agreed to strengthen collaboration in building an ecosystem of art, film, museum management, preservation and utilization of cultural heritage, including for the development of human resources for culture. And the next news. Minister of Trade Budi Santoso conveyed Indonesia's support for the annual ministerial dialogue between Indonesia and Singapore in 2025. As the implementation of an inter-ministerial dialogue forum in trade sector, these initiatives can be a forum for constructive dialogue and exchange of information, as well as exploration of concrete actions to strengthen trade facilitation and encourage economic growth, he said in a statement received here on Sunday. And that was the news. From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program, presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id and at RI Digital mobile application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
From Indonesia to the world.
Hello, Voice listener. Welcome back to Indonesia Today and also RR Inet viewers. Welcome to Indonesia Today with your host Ray, where I'll be accompanying you for the next 1 hour, providing with news, information, and also entertainment from Indonesia to the world. And for listeners, this beautiful day of Monday, the start of the weekday, of course, you can always tune in to our online streaming in voinews.id, shortwave in 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Also, our application in RRE Digital, for those of you love watching on demand. And so without any further ado, Voice listener and RR Inet viewers, let's begin today's broadcast with a song from Glenn Fredly with Malaikat Juga Tahu That You are tuning in to Voice of Indonesia.
Jadi lelaku juga bahagiamu, bahagiaku pasti berbagi. Takdir kita selalu kecuali, tiap kau jatuh hati kali ini. Hampir habis dayaku membuktikan padamu ada cinta yang nyata setia, hadir setiap hari tak tega. Biarkan kau sendiri meski seringkali kau malah asyik sendiri, karena kau tak lihat. Terkadang malaikat tak bersayap, tak cemerlang, tak rupawan. Namun kasih ini silakan kau adu. Malaikat juga tahu siapa yang jadi juaranya. Hampamu takkan hilang semalam oleh pacar impian, tetapi kesempatan untukku yang mungkin tak sempurna, tapi si siap untuk diuji. Ku percaya diri, cintakulah yang sejati. Namun tak kau lihat, terkadang malaikat tak bersayap, tak cemerlang, tak rupawan. Namun kasih ini, silakan kau adu. Malaikat juga tahu siapa yang jadi juaranya.
RRI Digital with New Look.
Programa en español.
RRI Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRI Digital.
Hello, VOI listener, and welcome to the Indonesia VOI Talk with today's special theme, that is the International Museum Day. So, VOI listener, who doesn't know about museum? And of course, in a special International of Museum Day, a moment to honor the vital role of museums play in preserving culture, history, and knowledge. Each year on May 18th, the museums around the world open their doors, not just for visitors, but to deeper conversations about heritage, identity, and innovation, and of course, to explore how museums in Indonesia are contributing to this global mission, we are joined today by a special guest. We have M. Rashid Ridlo, who is the person in charge of National Museum of Jakarta. How are you today, sir?
Fine, thank you. How about you?
I'm fine as well. So, National Museum of Indonesia is actually close to the office of Voice of Indonesia in RRI.
Oh,
it's like it is super close. So, speaking of the National Museum, Mr. Rashid, I would like to ask you, can you explain the theme of the 2025 International Museum, that is the future of museums in rapidly changing communities?
Okay. The International Museum Day 2025 theme, the future of museum in rapidly changing communities, explore how museum can adapt to and contribute to our facing significant social, technological, and environmental shift. This theme emphasizes museum as dynamic and inclusive institution that play a crucial role in shaping sustainable and equitable communities, such as adaptability and inclusivity. The theme highlights the need for museum to be flexible and inclusive, acknowledging the diverse need and perspective of the communities. Related with social transformation, it recognizes museum as active participant in social change, working toward a more equitable and sustainable future.
Okay, so that is a really interesting one. And how and what programs are run by the museum so that museum can be an attraction for all groups? And museum is actually really interesting, many things that in put there inside.
Okay. The National Museum of Indonesia, we are actively working to make the museum more inclusive and relevant to all members of society. One of our key strategies is collaborating with local communities who are now invited to host workshops and gathering within the museum. This not only brings people together, but also turn the museum into a vibrant public space for shared learning and cultural exchange. We are also committed to supporting marginalized communities by developing programs that enhance the understanding of history through direct engagement with the museum. These initiatives are designed to ensure that the museum is a space where everyone feels represented and welcome. In terms of content, our exhibitions are closely aligned with current cultural and social moments in this. For example, during Ramadan, we held a special exhibition on Islamic civilization in Indonesia. On Kartini Days, we showcase an exhibition focusing on women, their roles throughout Indonesian history.
I see. And so, in this special occasion of International Museum Day, what priorities are carried out so that the museum is friendly and become an educational medium for all groups of individuals that are coming to visit?
Okay. To make the National Museum of Indonesia friendly and effective as an educational medium for all groups and individuals, several key priorities can and should be carried out. These priorities reflect both best practices in museum inclusivity and the spirit of the 2025 International Museum Day theme. First, accessibility for all. Ensure that the museum is physically, cognitively, and emotionally accessible to all visitors. The action: install ramps, elevators, lift, and textile pad for people with physical disabilities. Provide sign language interpreters. Offer quiet hours or sensory-friendly environment for neurodiverse visitor. Ensure free ticket for the disabled. And the second priority, community involvement and representation. Create a museum that reflects the stories, voices, and identities of the people it serves. And for the action, partner with local communities, especially marginalized groups, to create program and exhibition, feature exhibit that highlight diverse ethnicities, religion, gender identities, and social background, and encourage community-created showcase that allows citizens to share their own heritage and experiences. The third, relevant and contextual education, make the museum a space where history connect meaningfully with current social, cultural, and political issues. The action are align exhibition with the national calendar, such as Ramadan, Kartini Day, Independence Day, and etc. Provide guided tour and educational kit tailored to different age groups, from children to university students. Use historical theme to discuss contemporary issues such as gender equality, environmental change, or pluralism.
Okay, so relating to the many Indonesian artifacts abroad, there are many artifacts from Indonesia, and what are the efforts made by the Museum of Indonesia?
Okay. Regarding historical objects abroad, the Indonesian government, in this part, the Ministry of Culture, has formed a repatriation team with the objective of returning this historical item to Indonesia. Currently, the repatriation efforts are focused on collections that were taken abroad as a result of plunder or military expedition in various regions. At present, the focus is primarily on objects located in the Netherlands, but this does not rule out of the possibility of repatriation from other countries in the future. To date, around 2,000 items from the Netherlands have been returned, including statues from the Hindu-Buddhist classical period, ethnography objects from various regions, and treasures from Bali and Lombok, such as jewelry, weapon, and ornamental parts of traditional houses.
Okay, so for the National Museum of Indonesia, how many collections are there, and what are the latest collections? So what categories and collections are the National Indonesia's museum's favorites? Maybe your favorite as well.
Overall, the National Museum of Indonesia holds approximately 196,000 objects in its collection.
Oh,
the exact number is still being recorded, including items recently repatriated from the Netherlands in 2023. Among the newest edition are several masterpiece statues from the Singosari period that were returned from the Netherlands. In addition, there are jewelry, ceremonial object, and weapon, including part of the Puri Agung Royal Palace in Bali, which were seized by the Dutch during the 1908 war. It is actually quite difficult to choose a single favorite from MNI collection, because all collection in our museum is very, very wonderful and became the masterpiece of our collection. However, based on public interest, the giant statue of Buddha Bhairava stands out as one of the most captivating objects for the visitor. There's also the statue of Prajna Paramita, a remarkable the 13th century work of art that showcases exceptional craftsmanship.
Okay, so that is the collection that really struck the visitors' attention. So for the final question, I would like to ask you, how does the museum maintain the sustainability of the collection, since there are a lot of it, and do all preservation programs collaborate with other parties with help of other people outside the Museum of Indonesia?
Conservation and preservation of collection are carried out through in-depth condition analysis to determine appropriate treatment according to the material composing, the collection, and the type of damage present. The use of suitable conservation materials and method increases the success rate of conservation and reduces the risk of said effect in the future. Preventive conservation is also implemented through environmental condition control around the collection. Throughout the process, discussion with resource person and expert are continuously conducted in line with the advancement of conservation science. Domestically, the National Museum of Indonesia engaged in discussion with other museums and the Indonesian Heritage Agency, as well as the Borobudur Conservation Center, supported by skilled professionals from other institutes of individual in with expertise in materials such as textile or ceramic. Internationally, various discussion and training sessions are also held with the support of institutions such as conservators from Werel Museum in Netherlands and the Smithsonian Museum in the US, or research institutes like NRICH from South Korea.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. M. Rashid Ridlo, for your beautiful insights of the Museum of Indonesia in this International Museum Day. And so, Voice listener, as we conclude today's conversation, and we also must be always reminded that museums are not just buildings filled with artifacts, but many things apart from that, and they are the living bridges between the past, present, and future. On this International Museum Day, may we continue to support and celebrate the institutions that preserves our histories, and that is the one who inspires generations to come. Thank you for joining us in this special episode of VOI Talk with me, Ray, and M. Rashid Ridlo, the person in charge of National Museum in Jakarta. Thank you so much for listening, and let us see you in the next episode of VOI Talk.
Voice of Indonesia.
Lah, kita lanjut ya. Kita jalanin dulu aja gimana?
Well, I'm still figuring out what's best for me.
Bukan ku tak tersipu, bukan ku tak butuh kata-kata, tapi ku meragu. Apakah langkah cinta ini berbeda? Meskipun telah sempurna, cintamu bagai mimpi yang nyata. Ku ingin hatiku bertekuk lutut tak berdaya.
Kata-kata. Voice of Indonesia.
Muda jiwa selamanya muda, kisah kita abadi selamanya. Muda jiwa selamanya muda, kisah kita abadi selamanya.
Masihkah kau mengingat di saat kita masih 17? Waktu di mana tanggal-tanggal merah terasa sungguh meriah. Masihkah kau ingat cobaan terberat kita matematika? Masihkah kau ingat lagu di radio yang merdu mengudara? Kita masih sebebas itu. Rasa takut yang tak pernah mengganggu batas naluri bahaya. Dulu tingginya melebihi logika. Waktu yang terus berjalan menempa kita.
Walau kini kita terpisah, namun jiwaku tetap di sana.
Di masa masih
sebelum, di masa rasa takut yang tak pernah mengganggu. Di masa naluri bahaya.
Kisah kita abadi untuk selama-lamanya.
The Land Above the Clouds is the nickname of Dieng Valley in central Java. This valley has a main tradition held annually that features cutting off dreadlocks on children as part of Dieng Culture Festival. They are not ordinary children. They had the dreadlocks after they mysteriously had high fever, and their illness was not detected medically. The next day, the dreadlocks appears on their head, and it can only be cut with a long sequence of ritual, where the whole villagers has their own parts.
Ya, kalau yang minta kan gembelnya ya. Gembelnya kalau orang tua kan kaya itu yang minta apa kentut satu kantong plastik sama telur puyuh satu itu orangnya kaya. Kan disuruh teman-teman minta mobil, minta enggak harusnya minta kentut untuk mainan gini kok. Buat mainan katanya. Nah, enggak saya sampai sore dua kali saya tanyain enggak bela-belo itu minta kentut sama ibunya buat mainan gini udah. Yang minta gembelnya bukan anaknya, bukan gembelnya yang minta. Kalau gembel itu enggak bisa dirubah kan.
Our journey to Dieng village in Banjarnegara Regency, Central Java was an unforgettable experience. It took 12 hours from Jakarta until we reached in Dieng. But the scenic winding road with the green potatoes plantation and people residents along made it worth it. Cold wind welcomed our arrival upon Dieng village. We visited this village to witness a unique annual event. It was the ritual of cutting the dreadlocks of Dieng children, who are called Anak Bajang. But why does cutting dreadlock need a long ritual and involve the whole village?
Karena kalau anak gembel itu kan titipan dari Dewi Roro Runcie dari Samudro.
We believe the dreadlock was a gift from goddess Roro Runcie from Kidul Sea. She gave it to Kiai Agung Kaladete as his apprentice. After the dreadlock is cut, it will be put in a jar. The jar then will be put on river that flows to Kidul Sea. It is like we return the dreadlock to the goddess.
Cilarung, air yang mengalir ke Samudra Kidul dikembalikan, dikembalikan yang menitipi supaya tidak gembel lagi.
For many years, Basumanto had carried out the dreadlock cutting ritual. The Anak Bajang are believed to be special children of Dieng, who bridge our reality and the unseen reality.
Karena filosofinya adalah anak gimbal merupakan titipan yang maha kuasa, di mana orang Dieng mempercayai bahwa yang maha kuasa selalu menitipkan apapun yang dia kehendaki itu.
The philosophy of dreadlock children is that they are a gift from God. The young people believe that God always entrusts anything He will through a medium. This medium bridges the seen and the unseen. So, the ritual is simply about respecting the unseen without worshipping them. We also believe our ancestor, Tumenggung Kolodete, also did the ritual. He cut his child's dreadlock and then let the dreadlock flows into the Southern Sea. It is because the past believed that the hair also belongs to the god. The Javanese must have goodwill and ethics. If something was entrusted to us through the medium, we should return it through the medium too. It is to avoid miscommunication and to appreciate the medium too.
Harus punya tata krama ketika mempercayai bahwa kita dipinjami barang melalui perantara, maka alangkah baiknya pengembaliannya juga melalui perantara sehingga tidak miskomunikasi, ataupun akan lebih baik bahwa yang menjadi perantara juga kita hargai. Itu seperti itu.
Ali Fauzi, born in Dieng, upholds the cultural value in this ritual. He managed to preserve his ancestors' heritage in a more modern way without removing the traditional element of the ritual itself. He initiated the Dieng Culture Festival, an event that could bring many tourists while keep allowing the long ritual process.
Ya, inilah budaya kita yang penuh dengan filosofi yang bagus sekali, di mana kegiatan rentetan, kegiatan ritual pencukuran rambut gimbal ini memang panjang sebetulnya. Hanya memang saat ini kita atraksi puncaknya, tapi perlu saya jelaskan apa sih yang panjang itu. Tentunya dimulai dengan acara napak tilas. Napak tilas ada di beberapa tempat, bahkan hampir lebih dari 20 tempat. Ini adalah konsep dari pelestarian lingkungan sebetulnya, di mana para pemangku adat, pemangku budaya, tokoh masyarakat yang terlibat dalam napak tilas ini adalah berkunjung beberapa tempat yang dianggap sakral atau dianggap harus dihargai, karena dampak dari hidupnya lingkungan di satu tempat itu akan membeli siklus kehidupan yang ada di bumi ini. Katakanlah ke satu mata air yang dianggap sakral, karena mata air itu tentu harus kita survei, harus kita lihat, harus kita hargai pohon-pohon di sekitarnya. Karena pohon yang bagus, mata air yang bagus tentu akan memberikan efek kehidupan yang baik untuk manusia sendiri. Jadi ini napak tilas selama beberapa hari dengan 20 tempat adalah bagaimana hubungan manusia dengan sekitarnya, manusia dengan manusia ini harus terjalin secara harmonis. Nah, selain memang hubungan dengan Sang Maha Pencipta sebagai pencipta alam semesta ini menjadi kunci bahwa, mohon maaf, kami tidak menyembah tempat, tetapi kami menghargai tempat, karena bagaimanapun alam ini sebetulnya mereka bernafas, pohon bernafas, tentu kita harus menghargai ciptaan yang maha kuasa lainnya. Itu seperti itu. 23 tempat itu panjang, ada yang jalan kaki, kecuali yang jauh saat ini mungkin dibantu dengan kendaraan, saya itu jalan kaki, dan juga para pemangku adat itu melakukan beberapa persyaratan, biasanya berpuasa dan lain-lain.
This deeply philosophical ritual of cutting dreadlock is really long. It begins with visiting 20 sacred places. The elders and the community figures involved will visit the places deemed sacred for their impact towards life. It is like preserving the environment. For instance, we visit a sacred water spring. We survey the spring and appreciate the trees around it. In there, we could see how a good water spring can bring good effect to lives, including us human being. 5 days before ritual, the elders did the prihatin during the visit. The night before the ritual, the dreadlock children will be gathered in a small banquet as a gratitude that the children had arrived at the place of an elder. In the morning, the children will be paraded on a carriage across the village, and the parade is followed by art performances. Meanwhile, the tourists can stay across the Dieng Kulon village area to Suharto Witlam or Dharmasala, because in there, the dreadlock children will undergo a purification ritual. During the previous visits, elders collected water for purification. This purification aims to strip away wickedness from the children. Then, after the purification, the children will be carried again to Arjuna Temple. In the temple, they will cut the dreadlock of the children one by one. The first cut will be done by the elders, and after that, others can also cut the dreadlock under the guidance of the elders. After that, there will be another gratitude banquet called Ngalah Berkah. Visitors can join the event. Since we prepared a banquet for all people to eat together as a gratitude to the god for the dreadlock cutting ritual had been done. But the last ritual will be the flowing the dreadlocks.
Anak-anak gimbal. Ini salah satu filosofi sebetulnya. Apapun ketika ada kegiatan yang bertujuan baik, itu alangkah baiknya itu semua dibersihkan. Maka diharapkan juga memakai pakaian yang baik, pakaian yang bagus, itu yang kita bersyukur sudah kita fasilitasi biasanya yang nanti.
Hair is a crown for a human, especially woman. It may coincide with the fact that most Bajang children in Dieng are female. The Bajang children who have dreadlocks are mostly 2 to 12 years old. For instance, Alita from Wonosobo. Since 2 years old, she had asked the dreadlocks to be cut in Dieng village. She also asked 2 goats.
Ini si Alita sendiri yang minta dari si
yet.
Alita herself wanted the dreadlocks cutting in the yang since she was 2 years old. She also wished for two goats.
Dipotong di mana di Dieng?
Permintaannya kok mak upama telur puyuh satu.
Wishes are specific, such as one quail egg. The egg must be one and must be from quail. If not fulfilled, the dreadlock will return and condition will worsen.
Like other traditions in Indonesia, this ritual has detailed preparation with full philosophical meaning. For instance, in the parade to Arjuna Temple where the dreadlocks will be cut, there was a cart full of Bajang children's wishes. There was also another cart with four colored tumpang. Tumpang is a cone-shaped rice dish with side dishes of vegetables and meat.
Jadi kalau apa tumpang robjong itu bawa rambut gimbal itu kan seperti padi contohnya itu. Nah, jadi ada gembel padi, ada rambut gimbal.
So, tumpang robjong means that the dreadlock is like rice. There's dreadlock that is like rice, another is like sheep wool. Meanwhile, various colors also have meanings. Green means fertility for agricultural trade. White means purity, that we live our life honestly without doing bad things. Those are the main symbols.
Bahwa kita hidup di dunia ini kan harus menjalankan yang apa adanya. Jalan yang lurus, tidak usah nekang-nekung, kayak gitu. Jadi itu termasuk simbol yang paling utama. Kalau
itu simbol paling
itu yang berwarna putih, gitu.
Another detail about dreadlocks cutting ritual is that it always held during dry season. Where the temperatures in Dieng Hill fell to 4 degrees Celsius. The meeting between hot and cold mountain air created mist across the hill since dawn. But then, when the ritual begin, the mist will be replaced by warm sunlight. Preserving tradition when advanced technologies invading millennial generation is not easy. However, the awareness of Dieng people on the value of their tradition proves that tradition can coexist with modernization.
Thank you for joining us on Indonesia Today, only on VOI and RRI Net.
Berpisah dengan cinta di Jatinegara, sekejap hati ini menjadi sengsara. Kuasa untuk menahan rindu sementara, padahal lusa kita jumpa.
Tenanglah, aku takkan pergi lama-lama. Izinkan ku sejenak meninggalkan kota sebelum melanjutkan mimpi yang cemerlang. Di gambir aku akan pulang. Langit malam yang terang, kita lanjut berlangkah.
Thank you so much for listener and RRI Net viewer for accompanying me in this 1 hour broadcast. But don't go anywhere, because after this there will be a lot more program that will accompany you in Indonesia Today. And don't forget to send your messages through our social media. In Facebook account, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter account at VOI Indonesia, Instagram and TikTok in VOI_official. We also have our email address in VOI@voinews.id and WhatsApp number in +62 821 238 12130.
Jakarta, hidup berdasi tak selalu membawa tawa.
Indonesia. Strategically lies in the heart of Coral Triangle. The global epicenter of marine diversity. Beyond doubt is a diverse paradise. Indonesia's underwater has so much to offer. Its beauty is unparalleled. And the excitement is limitless. Indonesia has raised the bar in implementing health protocols for diving activities. Nothing is left to chance, so that we can go back and enjoy the fun of diving in Indonesia again. Or challenge yourself to the next level. Or maybe a visit to the remnants of history. Or explore the best muck diving site in the world. Be prepared to be mesmerized by unique and exotic marine life. Such a paradise for macro photographers too. Diving in Indonesia. It's safer and more fun. You don't have to wait that long anymore to be back. So, what are you waiting for?
Once upon a time, the angels took bath here. In the legend of Tutumenten, 9 angels descended from the heaven to a pond. They took a bath in a pond belonging to Mamanua, a young farmer. Mamanua fell in love. One of the angels, Lumaludu, became his wife. From the fated two worlds, a child was born. But one day, Mamanua make a mistake that forced Lumaludu to return to heaven. The angel said, should their child want to meet her, Mamanua must bring the child across the forest, river, and mountain, with the sun guiding their path. Lumaludu will be waiting at the end of the journey. Then Mamanua and his child took the journey until this small family was reunited in the castle of the angels. The legend of Tutumendin ended happily ever after. And that was the story of the most beautiful place that the angels picked, Likupang. Away from Manado, this coastal city left a strong impression on first-timers. The people are slow living here. Nobody is in a rush. Everybody follows their own beat. And of course, the majestic landscape. Find the warm and embracing sunrise at Larata Hill.